AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. What a night it was last night for those of you who stayed up late to watch the Dodgers walk off in the National League wild card, one of the most exciting games all season long. Can't wait to talk about that. Preview, of course, tonight's NFL game. Go through a lot of fantasy information this week, some data, some stats, see if we can accurately predict the outcomes of some of these games as well. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, 2 hours, fantasy sports talk on Fantasy Sports Today, every single day, Monday through Friday, from noon to 2 Eastern. Davis, good to see you again. First day working with you this week. How's everything going?
Yeah, I was a game time decision for most of this week. Got a negative COVID test back, feeling very blessed about that. Been getting my butt kicked by probably just a really bad cold at this point. So feeling good about that. But of course, got to watch the Cardinals-Dodgers game. Lots of people here in St. Louis were very excited about that game. I didn't really have the heart to tell anyone that I didn't think they were going to win that game, though. Look, Adam Wainwright takes the ball in a one-game situation. Pretty much anything can happen. Anything almost did happen before that walk-off in extra innings, and we have a great Thursday night football game tonight. I woke up this morning and looked at what game it was on Thursday night, and I was like, pumped. I was like, this is not Jaguars-Titans. This is a great Thursday night game, I think.
Yeah, the high total, you would expect that tonight. We'll see what the outcome is. Short week, never know really what to expect. We'll dive into some player props, of course, for tonight as well, tell you who you should be starting tonight in fantasy. So that's where we'll begin here on the show. It is October the 7th, 2021, and the postseason of baseball is in full swing. Chris Taylor with a two-run shot off my buddy Alex Reyes last night. Did not want to see that as the way that the season ended for St. Louis, but it did, and the Giants and Dodgers will now face each other on Friday in one of the most anticipated games of the season. By the way, worth mentioning, and I don't know what will come of last night's game, but the Yankees-Red Sox wildcard game was the most streamed game ever in the history of ESPN and the highest-rated baseball game on television in, I believe, 30 years. So people are definitely interested in the postseason, that is for sure. Packers signed Jalen Smith. He was let go by the Cowboys. The Carolina Panthers trade for Stephon Gilmore. That caught some people by surprise. Of course, he is hurt right now, but he was great with New England. I think a pretty good pickup by Carolina. And Trevor Ariza, the Los Angeles Lakers, is going to be out a couple of months after ankle surgery. By the way, NBA preseason games are underway as well. But Davis, no doubt the story last night was the Dodgers winning that game. And certainly from a fantasy perspective, those two pitchers that pitched yesterday, I mean, who would have thought that Scherzer would have been pulled out? You played a single game on FanDuel last night. Scherzer gets pulled out in the fourth inning. But these managers right now, this time of the year, and we're going to see it a lot with Tampa Bay, if you're playing in DFS, and we're going to talk about that coming up a little bit later, you have to expect the unexpected, I think, in these games. One home run, you put Chris Taylor in your MVP spot, he ends up winning you the money last night. And you can't predict that stuff. Very, very tough.
Yeah, I mean, Scherzer basically just didn't really have it, right? Three walks, four strikeouts over four and a third innings pitched, and there just is no margin for error in a one game playoff or in when we get into these five game series. I mean, there's just nothing you can do. And the Dodgers have this amazing bullpen, right? They bring Kelly in. He is like basically one of the best high leverage relievers that there is. Brewster Graterol comes in for an inning. Blake Treinen comes in, and their bullpen gave up two hits for the rest of the game. I mean, they got into extras, and that's I guess that's what the money of the Los Angeles Dodgers buy them is they basically have the best bullpen in baseball with all of those guys combined. And the Cardinals, you know, their bullpen did admirable up until the end of that game. And I guess, you know, the Cardinals making that wild card game when we were talking about them adding John Lester at the trade deadline, that was definitely more than we would have expected for them. No one was projecting them to make the playoffs when they made that move.
Yeah, and from a fantasy perspective, Alex Reyes, I know he took the loss yesterday. I've known Alex for a long time. Think about something that will change next year in fantasy, where Davis, you know, they start the runner off in second base, you know, and so there's a lot of wins and losses coming from the relievers that normally wouldn't be. You go to extra innings, you pitch an inning, you come out, nothing happens, right? Alex Reyes saved 29 games last year and won 10 games. What is that worth in fantasy, right? And didn't make a single start the entire season just because of the low scoring close games that they played. That's something that when we're talking about fantasy baseball next year in February and March, you pretty much have to eliminate as just variance. And Alex did struggle, of course, down the stretch. But we got two baseball games. We're going to go through our DFS slate in baseball today. We have four games tomorrow to talk about as well. We're going to see if we can give you a little bit of an edge on who you want to be playing. But coming up next, it's time for us to dive into some fantasy football, and specifically the running back position. Dalvin Cook, who was taken in the first five picks of basically every fantasy football draft, can you count on him right now? Is he hurt? Is he healthy? He'll tell you in his words coming up next. Also, the Washington football team still trying to figure out what's going on there with Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissick. We'll dive into that as well. We'll hear from Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver on the Washington football team. Then we'll preview tonight's game, give you some over-under props that you can bet on over at FanDuel, and also key you in on who you should be playing in fantasy football from this matchup as well. So we're off and running here on this Thursday. Stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock, we're back in just 2 minutes here on the show with a look at Dalvin Cook, with also a look at the Washington football team running back situation as we return right after this. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today, here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com. Another fantasy football week upcoming. Of course, it begins tonight with the Rams and Seahawks. So we're going to preview that game for you coming up in about 10 minutes from now. So stay on the grid for that. But specifically, there is no choice if you're a Dalvin Cook owner. You took him in the first five picks of your fantasy draft. And thus far this season, after week one, you would have thought, wow, I made the right choice. But as we take a look here at the numbers through four games this year, and again, he's missed time, only 226 rushing yards from your first pick, 10 receptions, also not a lot, 70 receiving yards, and just one touchdown. So reporters in Minneapolis, generally speaking, especially after the performance last week, are wondering if Dalvin Cook is 100%. And when will he be 100%? And he answered that question for the reporters yesterday.
Nah, I wasn't in and out of the lineup. I came up that one time. It's part of the game. You know, I'm not 100% yet. I'm still working to be back to where I need to be at. Had a little hiccup right there, but it settled down. I got myself back together. And, you know, whenever my number was called, I was ready to go.
Is this something you can keep playing through and get back to 100%, you think?
That's the plan. I don't feel like I'm getting worse. I don't feel like I'm, you know, headed in the wrong direction. I feel like I'm headed in the right direction and get myself back to where I need to be at. But, you know, it's some days, you have those days, you know, we just play the game. So, you know, just trying to, like I said, work myself back to being 100% so I can help us win games.
Not a lot of optimism there, Davis, from hearing that. And I know that Cook, at some point this season, is going to blow up. He's going to have 3 touchdowns in a game or 4 touchdowns, 200 yards. He does it every season. You know, but this was sort of the warning going into the year, and the worry is that he would struggle or he would have some injuries, and that's kind of what happened. Last week, it's just an ineffective week, both for him and, by the way, for Madison, too. So let's be clear here. Madison didn't look much better. But there's really not an answer. If you have Dalvin Cook, Davis, you just, I mean, DFS, obviously, we can avoid him. Season-long league, what do you do? I mean, you just got to play him and hope.
You know, I don't know if I would be that confident about playing him this week. He played 49% of the snaps last week. I guess what you would say is they're playing the Detroit Lions, and I believe I saw this morning that they're going to be without 3 of their starting offensive linemen, including Penei Sewell, so maybe the Vikings are just playing downhill for the entire game. I kind of think that the more interesting thing is that Alexander Mattison is probably a start this week. If he's going to be in roughly a 50-50 timeshare and we think the Vikings are going to win this game, which I am pretty confident that they'll probably win that game, Mattison seems like a guy that if you are, you know, kind of have a weaker RB2 team, I think Mattison does probably look like a start this week. And you're right. I mean, if you have Dalvin Cook, what are you going to do? You're not benching Dalvin Cook, but it's not like you feel like I don't think I will have him ranked as a top 10 running back this week.
Yeah. And look, from the comments, didn't seem to be overwhelmingly positive. It may take a couple of weeks for him to get back. And that's a fair point on Madison. And for people who see Cook playing in general, the Madison owner just simply says, I'm not going to play him when Cook is healthy, but maybe that is not the case. Last week, it just didn't go well for either of them. And they were also trailing in that game for the majority of the game too, against Seattle. All right, well, the Washington football team also has a couple of very viable running backs on their hands, but you may be surprised how the numbers do look similar between these two guys. Antonio Gibson, who again was taken in the late first or second round in every draft, only 253 rushing yards to start of the season. And of course, you know, only 8 receptions, 107 receiving yards, 70 on one play, and he has 2 touchdowns this season. So the talent is there. And the volume has somewhat been there, but then when you pivot over and you take a look at J.D. McKissic, I mean, this is basically a replay from what we've seen. 56 rushing yards, 12 receptions, 142 receiving yards, and the same amount of touchdowns as Antonio Gibson, and we are 4 weeks into the season. Their wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, talked about the 2 weapons that they have in the backfield and specifically how much they're being used.
Well, I think they're very diverse. I think Coach Turner does a good job of putting them in situations to be successful, not just running the ball, but obviously out in space. We have no problem putting them out wide where the receivers are, and they're able to run routes. They're able to go deep like we can, and they just give us another added advantage in the matchup category. So I think JD and Antonio have been doing a really good job of not just running the ball, but catching the ball at the backfield, pass protection. They're playing at a really high level right now. And when you have 2 guys that can do that, I'm sure it really helps both of them. And I know it helps our offense.
The one interesting little wrinkle of Washington, Davis, and I know that you weren't high on them going into the season, but I don't think anybody could have predicted them having the worst defense in the NFL. And that's sort of what's transpired thus far. I mean, at the very least, most people thought they'd be average, I would think, at best. And because they're trailing in these games, you're seeing McKissic get a lot of work, especially catching the ball. He was the hero of last week's game. He, you know, scoring that late touchdown, he and Terry McLaurin ended up being the guys. So Davis, naturally, these players are like the stock market. And at this point, do you see any pivot over the next 8-9 weeks? Because I know going into the season, the thought process was, well, McKissick, maybe he goes away and Gibson gets all the receptions. And then he's just, you know, a top five running back in fantasy football. But a month in, it hasn't happened. Do you think it's because of the talent or is it just because Washington has basically given up 40 points a game?
Yeah, I don't know if I see it as like a talent disparity because I think Gibson does look pretty good catching the ball. I just think it's kind of like this is how they use the offense, you know. And how many times have we seen this happen in NFL history, right? Where a very talented running back is splitting time with a running back that we don't view as talented, but the playing time split kind of makes sense to the coaches, right? Thomas Jones and Jamal Charles, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, right? I mean, we see this all the time. And, you know, we might think that Antonio Gibson is the much more talented player. I mean, you know, JD McKissick, guy got cut from the Detroit Lions and signed to the Washington football team. So it's not like he is some superstar, but he does fill a role in that offense. And, you know, for whatever reason, I actually think kind of talking through this, I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick was still the quarterback, we actually would see Gibson playing a little bit more, but I think they're playing a more conservative offense with Taylor Heinicke as the quarterback versus where with Fitzpatrick, I think they probably would have been a little bit more aggressive. Also, another reason to be concerned is Antonio Gibson did not practice on Wednesday. He's got this shin injury, so he's kind of being managed. So maybe that's also playing into it is Antonio Gibson is banged up. So maybe they just don't want to give him, you know, 80% of the snaps or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, look for me, I mean, it certainly could be all of those things, but if Washington is going to be, you know, down 14 points in every game they play in at the half and, you know, they're going to be playing catch up and then someone's got to catch the ball out of the backfield, it takes away the idea that Gibson could carry the ball 25 times in a football game. So I'm curious to see, at the end of the year, what this looks like. Too early, I think, to make a determination on it. And I would assume that Washington's defense gets better at some point, but right now it hasn't. And all of a sudden, McKissick is healthy. By the way, McKissick, Davis, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he also get cut from Seattle too? Right? This is his third team, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes. And actually, funnily enough, I even remember JD McKissick had a 2-touchdown game for the Seattle Seahawks in one of those random games where Chris Carson was injured and they still cut him.
Yeah, really interesting to see how Washington does their business with their running backs. But their offense has definitely looked a lot better over the last couple of weeks. Is that because they have to come back, or is that because they're actually good? Maybe they've flipped. Maybe Washington's offense is good and the defense is bad, which is pretty much the opposite of what everybody told me going into the season. All right, we got to take a quick timeout here on the show. Rams and Seahawks coming up tonight. We'll hear from Pete Carroll, the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, also break down some of the position props tonight, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, and also give you our opinion on the game as well. So stay with us here on The Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern. Hopefully you are with us for the entire show. If not, follow us on Twitter. I'll tell you all about that coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There are some people who love these single game entries on FanDuel. I am not one of them, but I know that you are. So if you are, we're going to help you out, of course, with that. Rams and Seahawks tonight. from a betting perspective, this is an interesting game, no doubt, because the Rams, coming off a really tough week, are favored in Seattle, and Seattle played well. The spread is Rams -2.5, -140 on the money line. The total is 54.5 in this game. And by the way, the Rams just were not good last year against Seattle. They scored just 25 points in two games. But remember, that was Jared Goff at quarterback. And Goff has since moved on. And of course, they signed Matthew Stafford in the offseason. And that was the focus of Pete Carroll, who talked about just how good Stafford is now that he's moved on to the Rams.
Well, he's got a really good club around him. They have quickly turned their focus to making sure that they're maximizing what he can do. And they're really committed to his style of play. And it's a, you know, he's a fantastic football player.
And I think that last – and, Davis, I think that last week was just a really bad spot for the Rams. They come off that huge win against Tampa Bay, and then they face off with the Cardinals. And I think that had they played like 15 quarters, I think the Rams may have come back to win. But it was just – they were just so flat from the beginning. Arizona just, you know, smashed them at the beginning of the game, and there was just no shot for them to come back. You know, I think this game will be fun tonight. I think it will be interesting. I want to go through the DFS here also as well with you and kind of go through some of the pricing as to how you would play a single game. But it was interesting because I was on the morning after about an hour ago, and Ben was asking me, he's like, oh, you know, like, does this mean you play everybody in fantasy tonight because the total is 54.5? And Davis, my answer was no. You know, because it's Thursday night and it's like, you know, these teams, I mean, of course, there's always going to be some really good Thursday night games. And there could be 60 points scored in the game tonight. But I mean, I don't think so. I think that teams game plan differently when they have this Thursday night game coming up. We've seen it every single week. Teams come out of the box. What are they doing, Davis? They run the ball. They run the ball. They run the ball. It's like they don't want to get guys hurt. They use different players, too. We've seen that at running back also. And then you think about a game like 2 weeks ago. I think Houston punted that game from the beginning. It didn't even look like they had any interest being there, and Carolina didn't even take advantage. So, I mean, there'll definitely be some diamonds tonight for us to go through here, but I don't think that you can look at a Thursday night total of a 54 versus a Sunday total of a 54 and think they're the same element.
I mean, I think you're probably right, but I think you're starting all of your guys who are fantasy starters in this game. I think you're starting, I mean, you're obviously starting Cooper Kupp. You're starting Tyler Lockett. You're starting DK Metcalf. Maybe you would err on the side of not starting Robert Woods because Woods hasn't been, I mean, Woods has just been very, very average anyway. Maybe, I mean, I definitely think you're starting Daryl Henderson. If you're in a league where Henderson is one of your starting running backs, I don't think you're benching him. If you were one of the people who were lucky enough to pick up Alex Collins on the free agency waiver wire this week, I think you're probably going to start him. I think you're going to start Tyler Higbee. I think you're going to start Stafford. Maybe you wouldn't want to start Russell Wilson. I don't know. I mean, who would you be wanting to bench in this game that you'd consider a fantasy starter?
I think none of them. I think that's the point. But as we go through and we look at the props, which we'll do coming up, or even if you were playing some slate, I don't know. Does a slate exist, by the way, in DFS where you play Thursday and Saturday and Sunday? Excuse me. Does that exist or it doesn't exist?
Yeah, they have that on FanDuel. The contests are not very big. They're I mean, I think maybe $10,000 to first or something. But it does exist. You can play it.
Right. So for example, that's where I would pivot out of. I just wouldn't guarantee 65 points being scored tonight in a game like this. But as far as starting, the only one that you mentioned that I would not start anymore is Woods. I until I see something, I can't do it. I mean, Robert Woods, Davis, did nothing last week. He scored on like the last play of the game and like a gimme touchdown at the end. Like, I mean, if somebody did not watch the game and they looked and they saw, oh my gosh, I got 12 points from Robert Woods. You were very, very lucky.
Right.
So anyway, let's take a look at the DFS pricing for tonight. If you're going to play this one, the single game option, Stafford is 16. Wilson is 15. Kupp is, I'm sorry, 15.5. Kupp is 14. Henderson, I think you're right. I don't think he's coming off the field. Michelle fumbled, if I'm not mistaken, too, last week. DK Metcalf, 12.5. Tyler Lockett, 12.5. So I don't know how much single game slate you play, Davis. I play none. So you're better to ask about this than I am. What would be the strategy if you were going to play this tonight?
I mean, I play a ton of the single game stuff. I find it to be pretty fascinating, because I've always been of the opinion that fantasy football is a numbers-based game that uses football as its impetus. So single game slates are, it's basically all game theory. It's very little about, you know, who is the best play, who is going to score the most points. You know, it's mostly getting deep into the combinations of players, thinking about what players correlate, thinking about what groups of players are going to be the lowest owned together relative to the field. And this slate to me has a very clear guy that you want to be using at MVP way more than the field, and that's DK Metcalf. People, are going to be every time the Rams and the Seahawks play each other, people talk about how Jalen Ramsey is going to shut down DK Metcalf. And it's kind of happened, but Metcalf always gets the better of him and gets open on at least one play. Actually, there was a play last year. I bet you probably remember it. Metcalf absolutely smokes him, leaves him in the dust, has a 65-yard touchdown. He's wide open, and it donks off his face mask, and he drops the ball. That's just kind of one of those of like, well, that's how close it can be sometimes. But I think Metcalf is clearly the guy that I want to be most overweight on relative to what everyone else is doing in this single game slate.
Right. And just strangely enough, you know, we picked an MVP for this game, and you'll see we both picked Metcalf in this game tonight. And I'm also waiting for one of those breakout games from him where he scores twice, and it's not about catching 10 balls for him, but it's like six catches, 140 yards. And look, he's been fine. I mean, you can't complain with the outcome that you've gotten from him, but you're waiting for that really big game, and it just hasn't happened yet. Maybe tonight is the night. We'll see. All right, let's take a look over now and switch over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, and this will give you an indication as to how we feel about your players in fantasy based on the props. Stafford's yards are 305.5. Wilson's are 268.5. An hour ago, I was on the morning after, and this is where, Davis, I was under on both. I was said under on 305, under on 268. And again, my theory on this one is simply put, when you have a total of 54.5, a 27-24 game, Davis, still puts you under that total and puts you under some of these yardage too. I just feel like it's a super high total for a Thursday night. I also watched the game last week. I think Henderson, by the way, is 100% healthy, but I couldn't believe, Davis, how much they used him at the end of that game last week where it meant nothing, and they just kept handing the ball off. I'm like, wait a second, this guy's coming off a rib injury. This guy's on my fantasy team. What are you doing? Get him out. Put somebody else in. I don't think they want to play Sony Michel at all. So I see a lot of running from Seattle. I see a lot of running from the Rams tonight.
No, I don't think they want to use Sony Michel a little bit. I mean, we had these conversations when the Rams traded for him. I thought that the Sony Michel trade was more about looking at their depth chart with Xavier Jones injured and Jake Funk as the only running back left on the roster and being like, you know, if Henderson gets hurt, we are up the creek without a paddle. If Henderson gets hurt, so we got to do something. Like the Baltimore Ravens are dealing with this right now. I mean, they activated Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman off the practice squad to try and cover over some of the cracks in their backfield, and as a result, they are, you know, Lamar is having to throw more than he has ever thrown, and that's kind of what they're having to do. And I don't think the Rams wanted to find themselves in that situation. So I'm with you on Henderson. I would be smashing the over on Henderson's props this evening for sure. I think he looks like a phenomenal play.
Right. So my opinion on Stafford is under. My opinion on Wilson is under 305.5 and 268.5. Moving over to the running backs, I'm with you on Henderson over 64.5. I'm just going to ignore Carson because we don't know if he's going to play or not. So I don't think that would be fair to make somebody do something or give an opinion on something that we don't know. So let's move over.
For what it's worth, I think he's not going to play. And I think if the FanDuel Sportsbook opens up props while we are on the air for Alex Collins, I would take the over on those. Like I bet they open Alex Collins rushing prop at 40.5 yards. That's my official Nostromatic prediction. Mm-hmm. And if they open at that, I would take the over on that.
Okay, there you go. Cooper Kupp has had a fantastic season, and he's got a total of 84.5 tonight. Metcalf, who we talked about, clearly we both feel an over there on 70. and Lockett is 66.5. So let's close out with wide receivers here, Davis.
Well, you and I definitely just have different opinions on this game. You know, I think that the Rams in general just want to throw the ball a ton. They're way less play action than they've been in years past. So I want the over on Cooper Kupp. And I want the over on both of the wide receivers too, because I have the Rams easily covering this game and the Seahawks, you know, just chucking the ball. But I bet you'll go 2 of 3 on the unders here. That's my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go under on Kupp, under on Lockett. I just have seen, you know, 17 Thursday night games in the NFL. And I don't know the outcome to this, so it's a bad job on me. I would guess out of the 17, 10 went under the total last year, and maybe even more the year before that. So my odds are better going with unders than they are on overs on Thursday night football. That's the way I'm going to go. All right, coming up next, fantasy football. You always have to be willing to change an opinion, but there are some players that I think you cannot trade. You simply can't do it. Davis will give his too. Go ahead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. For those of you with a social media account and you're all like disenchanted with Facebook, disenchanted with Instagram, it went down, you want out, follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. We're always going on 18 hours a day live, 6 hours basically taped, but all of our comments, picks, information, predictions are all there for you at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. So make sure you follow us there. And like some of our tweets, give us some retweets too. Tell us know what you think about the show. Okay, well, I want to say that you always should be willing to make deals in fantasy sports. There really should not be a player on your team that you're unwilling to trade, because if somebody offers you, Davis, you know, just something ridiculous, you have to say okay. But what I wanted to do was a little exercise with you here on the show, because I think that just given the nature of the beginning of the season, you have to identify players that it literally would take a ransom for you to move off your team, because you feel like the first 4 weeks are an indication of the next 13. So I wanted to do that with you here on the show, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like if somebody comes at you with just an insane offer, you click accept. But if that's not the case, I have to feel very, very strongly about moving a player that we're going to discuss on the show today.
So you and I actually took a different approach to this. You listed a bunch of guys who've been crushing, who you were like, these guys are crushing so hard, I don't want to trade them. I agree with all three of yours. And then I took the other way. I looked at a bunch of guys who haven't been very good, who I think people will try to lowball you on. And I'm saying, absolutely do not sell them. The good games are coming. So that's just an interesting look into the way that you and our brains work a little bit differently that way.
All right. So let's take a look here, and I'll start off. Here are the three players that I would not trade. Full transparency, I have two of the three on my teams, and so I can speak with experience here. Derrick Henry, who I did not want, I have, and I am so lucky to have Derrick Henry. My gosh, as long as he does not get hurt, and I have to knock on every piece of wood here in my office. I mean, how could you trade him? He gets 30 carries every game. He gets 100 yards every game. He's even catching some passes this year. 500 yards, 14 receptions. That is a stunning number. I thought this number would be 6 through 4 weeks. It's 14, 125 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. Look, Tyreek Hill is just a monster in that offense. And again, with health, he's going to end up being so good every week, and he keeps scoring touchdowns too. 4 touchdowns already at the start of the season, 453 receiving yards. Mahomes is just looking his way early and often, And then finally, another player who, you know, again, I know, Davis, you were very high on him during the season, so I took my shot on in one league with him, and boy, does he look great too. It's just DJ Moore. I literally don't see Sam Darnold looking at anyone else. 30 receptions, 398 yards for DJ Moore through four games, and three touchdowns. And look at that number, 43 targets. Robbie Anderson wishes he had like six targets through four games. He does not. And on top of it, DJ Moore was lined up a couple of times last week in the backfield against the Dallas Cowboys. And we know the offensive coordinator on Carolina is amazing and Joe Brady, so nothing would surprise you. But the head coach, Matt Rhule, was asked potentially using Moore as a running back.
Yeah, DJ could play tailback. He's, like I said, if DJ was born, like when I was born, he'd be an I formation tailback, and I say that with the greatest of compliments to him. He's got balance and power. I mean, I'm like a don't run out of bounds type of guy, and sometimes I'm like, hey, run out of bounds, man. Get out of bounds. Like, there's no more yards to get. He loves to try to jump over people, run people over, cut back. I mean, he's got that physical skill set. So just like, you know, we handed the ball off to Tommy Tremble 2 weeks ago. I mean, we try to be positionless on defense. I think we're evolving like Curtis was last year, and Tommy's starting to do a little bit of trying to be positionless on offense in some ways. And so, you know, when Christian's out there, he can play wide out and play tailback. DJ, I think, is a guy who can do both as well.
And boy, wouldn't that be interesting, Davis, to see Moore lined up near the goal line, you know, on one of those Robert Woods-esque sweeps into the end zone, those Curtis Godwin-type sweeps. Maybe that's coming for Carolina. I feel like we may have got an indication on that. So, look, those three guys, Davis, you know, I'm just, if I have them on my team, you better come at me with, like, five dudes, and they all better be healthy, because I can't see anything but great things moving forward. Again, barring injury, which always has to be said.
No, these guys are completely untradeable. I mean, one of my bold predictions at the beginning of the season was that DJ Moore would be going in the first round of fantasy drafts next year. I don't know if he will score enough touchdowns to get there. Two touchdowns last week. Good beginning to that. Tyreek Hill, what's changed with Tyreek Hill is the lack of other weapons in Kansas City has turned him from like 8 targets a game to like 12 targets a game. Like, he is still Tyreek Hill in terms of he's getting those bombs 60 yards down the field, but he and Devontae Adams are getting like the same amount of targets. And that, I mean, would it surprise you if Tyreek Hill scored the most points in fantasy football this year? I don't think I would be surprised if he did, you know, because he is getting all these targets. The Chiefs are 2-2, so it's not like they have the luxury to kind of just chill in some of these games. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen this with the Chiefs where they kind of go through these games in third gear and they're doing these trick plays and they're shovel passing to the linemen and stuff. And like, I don't think they can do that. I think it's got to be full pedal to the metal for the rest of the year. And then Derrick Henry. So he has 14 receptions right now. You go look at Derrick Henry's career, that basically already, he has only had more than 14 receptions in one other season in his career, and we're 4 games in. So he is the same Derrick Henry he's always been, but he might add 30, 40, 50 receptions if, you know, because the Titans' defense has been so bad. They've been missing all these wide receivers. I mean, what package would someone have to offer you for Derrick Henry for you to say yes? I mean, I'm pretty sure there just wouldn't be one.
Yeah, like it would have to be, you know, like, I mean, one of those great receivers plus Kamara, McCaffrey, Cook. Like, it would have to be two elite guys to replace the one, and I don't even know that I would do it. Like, you're right. It would be a very, very hard trade for me. And he wasn't even someone I targeted going into the season. And it's funny, the buddies in my league are texting me like, oh, you said you didn't want Derrick Henry. I mean, now how are you feeling? I'm like, yeah, 4-0, can't complain. And by the way, in that league, I have all those receivers. I have DJ Moore. I have CeeDee Lamb. I have T. Higgins. I have Debo, my guy. I can't even, one guy has to sit for me. We don't have a double flex league. It's crazy. I have this best team I've drafted thus far in a long time there. All right, Davis, how about for you? The players that you're saying maybe haven't shown as much as they can, that you are just not interested in moving on from?
Yeah, so like I said, we kind of took the different approach to this. As I looked at some guys who are definitely a lot of these guys are on my fantasy teams, and I can see the low ball offers coming in for them. You know, these three guys have been, I would say they've mostly been fine, but certainly have been below expectations. The first guy is CeeDee Lamb, who started the year like gangbusters in that game against the Buccaneers. 15 targets, 7 receptions, 104 yards and touchdown, 8 for 81 in his second game, and then only 3 for 36, and then a measly 2 for 13 last week. What I would say with CeeDee is the Cowboys have just been steamrolling these teams, right? So they beat the Chargers, they crash into the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's not even close against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they ran away with those games. I think they have some more difficult games coming up against New England, against Minnesota. In those more competitive games, I imagine it will look more like the Buccaneers game, where they're throwing more. George Kittle, I mean, look, you got to feel very disappointed if you drafted. George Kittle doesn't have a touchdown yet. Finally has a decent-ish game against Green Bay, 7 for 92. One, I think the introduction of Trey Lance will just make them a little bit more explosive in general. I don't know about better, right? Trey Lance, he's very young, very raw, but I think they're going to be a little bit more explosive, so you like that. And then Lamar, Craig, I think Lamar is about to go on a historic run because he is on pace to just smash his career high in passing attempts. He's never thrown more than 401. Right now he's on pace to throw for 527 passes. Rashad Bateman is going to be back this week, and he's running as much as ever. So I think Lamar is about to just go nuclear on us. And if I was going to bet on one guy to win MVP right now, it would be Lamar. I think you can get him on the FanDuel Sportsbook at around 25-1.
Yeah, they can't run, and you're right. I mean, Tyson Williams, that was a shock last week. You know, 20 minutes before the game to find out he wasn't going to play, and the running backs that played didn't do very much. Murray seems to have a really good nose for the end zone. I guess that's the cliche. Whenever they put him in near the goal line, he scores. But what happens outside of the red zone is they just can't run. So I'm in agreement on that one. I'm also in agreement on CeeDee Lamb, as I have him. But I don't think that there's much you can do about Kittle, but I'd be very worried, Davis, if Lance is the quarterback. Now, I do think inevitably Lance will be good, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, the next couple of weeks, if he plays anything like he did this past week, Trey Lance is going to complete like 5 of, you know, or 10 of 20 passes for like 100 yards. He's going to run for 100 yards. There's no question about that. And he's probably going to score twice on the ground. But the comparison that I've made, Davis, and he may end up being much better in his career, but this reminds me of when Vince Young was thrown in and he had to play for the Tennessee Titans. It was just chucking the ball or just running for like 40 or 50 yards. And that would make me a little concerned on Kittle. I don't know. And by the way, it looked like Lance threw to Debo every time. Or Juszczyk out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Just kept, where's Debo? There he is. Oh, he missed him. Where's Debo? Okay, he caught it. Where's that? And that was it. There was no one else involved in the offense. So that will change, but it gives me Vince Young vibes, Davis. I have to be honest.
No, I mean, I think that seems fair. So this is kind of my general thesis statement is Lance is going to look bad on like 60% of plays, and you're going to be like, oh my God, what is this guy doing? He looks clueless. He doesn't know what's happening. And then the next play, he's going to roll out to his right and stiff arm a defensive end and just unleash this ugly throwing motion, frozen rope 35 yards across the field to someone who's wide open, who the safety forgot because he went to go try and tackle Lance on a potential scramble. I mean, I've seen this happen so many times. This is what we saw with Lamar. We literally just saw Justin Fields, right? Looked terrible week one, comes out, steamrolls the Lions next week and looks so much better. Like, it's just these young athletic guys, they're kind of slow to process the game, but their physical gifts allow them to make up for what they take off the table. And that's what I think we're going to see with Lance.
Yeah, I think he's going to run for a lot of yards this week in particular. I would love to see what if I could get in on that prop for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to, you know, dive more into what's happening in fantasy sports. I know, Davis, when we talk about this upcoming weekend, there are so many interesting matchups. I mean, where do you stand as far as like your championship leagues? your NFFC leagues? I know, I'm sorry, we only have 30 seconds. Maybe we should hit on that when we come back.
I have one very, very good team, one really, really bad team, and four teams that are all just treading water.
All right. So listen, more on that coming up next. Stay on the grid with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll also dive into some numbers in fantasy, catches versus targets, if that means anything. We'll dive into
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Davis, there are some reports that Baker Mayfield, quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, is playing with a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. So, I mean, I suppose that means less rushes for him. I don't think it means anything in terms of passing for him, but the one thing that I would assume is that one big hit, I would put him out for a long period of time, I would guess, or maybe not, and he's just playing with it. I'm not sure. Interesting report, though.
I mean, I think it would just mean that for our purposes, it means that I'm a little bit less bullish on Odell Beckham, who, like, I don't know, he should have had like 37 fantasy points last week. He got missed, running wide open down the field, and Baker skipped a pass that landed at his ankles. Baker overthrew him in the end zone when he ran this amazing route to get wide open on an isolation play. And I have Odell Beckham on a lot of my fantasy teams, and now, you know, I don't know. How about this one? Robert Woods versus Odell Beckham this week, you got to make this decision tonight, so you know that it's Baker Mayfield with a torn labrum or Robert Woods on Thursday Night Football.
I think I'd take a shot with Beckham this weekend. I think I'd take a shot with Beckham. I don't know what the plan is with Woods. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. But they did not target him for three quarters. At least Beckham's being targeted. So I probably would go Beckham in that spot. How about you?
I think I would go Beckham too, just because I think that Beckham has the upside. Whereas I think Robert Woods' best game is like 6 for 80 and a touchdown. You know, right. But Beckham can have a huge game, I think.
Yep, I agree. All right, that'll do it for hour one here on FST. We got plenty more to come. We got our headlines with Chris coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll dive into targets versus catches. And I'm looking forward to really diving into some of these. I would not call them advanced metrics because I don't think that they are in the NFL. It's just as easy as me Googling. But I'll pique Davis's interest with this, see if it makes any difference. Don't go on.